This is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal. For those who might like to call in after the break, the number is 717-300-1698. 717-300-1698. By far the most interesting development over the past several days has been the release of hacked emails from the Democratic National Committee that confirm the suspicions so many have held for so long, that the DNC was attempting to sabotage the Bernie Sanders campaign. The indirect evidence was overwhelming in and of itself, given that Debbie Wasserman Schultz had scheduled only five debates between the candidates at very obscure times, like on a Saturday evening. In the past, there would have been as many as 16. And the fact is that state after state, even when Bernie won the exit poll, were given to Hillary. States like Illinois, Ohio, Missouri. There are others where it's obvious that tinkering gave the state to Hillary again. For example, in Kentucky, Pike County, a big coal county. And I resided in Kentucky for, nearly 10 years. We're wiped clean. The votes coming in from a coal county, which would be overwhelmingly anti-Hillary, were wiped clean so they could begin with a new count to depress the Bernie vote. And then, of course, we have the absurdity of Texas being given to, other candidates that have affected the Republican side. But the Democratic has been, as anything, even more horrendous than what happened on the Republican, including in California. Many of you will remember that the Associated Press on the eve before the primary in California announced that Hillary Clinton was already the designated candidate or presumptive candidate of the Democratic Party based upon no change in information that had been available for at least 6 weeks. It was a transparent effort to manipulate the outcome. And it now turns out that other skullduggery was going on in California, where Stanford has been engaged in a series of research efforts that are discovering that the vote totals in county after county are being flipped to Bernie Sanders. I mean, listen, this is a reflection of Hillary's paranoia. She's such a control freak. She doesn't believe in democracy. She believes in herself and in her self-promotion, regardless of the cost to others. And where, the fact is that this created such an uproar at the convention, where even Debbie Wasserman Schultz was booed by her own delegation from Florida at breakfast on Monday. A rapid calculation was made that it wouldn't do for her to gavel the convention open and gavel the convention closed. That would leave a bitter taste in everyone's mouth. So she was replaced. She'll be resigning at the end of the week. And it's, it damaged control all the way. Bernie Sanders has simply appalled me by bending his knee, genuflecting to Hillary. Yes, because of his influence, the platform is more progressive than it would have been otherwise. But we're getting a lot of reports now that it's not really seriously progressive, that the platform is a betrayal, going all in for fracking, for the TPP, for Monsanto, and for GMOs. So what has Bernie Sanders got to show for it? A recommendation for a $15 an hour minimum federal wage. And for a public health care option, I can't see much else that he's deriving from it. What's especially interesting here is a contrast with the Republican convention. I mean, listen, everyone expected that the Republican convention was going to be massively divisive and the Republicans were going to come out with major divisions. Instead, it worked out in an ironic fashion because when, not only did Donald Trump give a masterful speech, which was had the effect of 56% of those who heard it stating that they were more likely to vote for the New York businessman after the speech than before. And where Frank Luntz, who was running a focus group that had about 20 people who were either anti-Trump or neutral, was astounded to discover that after the speech, that 10 of them were now going to vote for Trump after hearing that, and made the bold prediction that by Monday, that is to say yesterday, Donald Trump would have the lead. And he was exactly right. Trump has taken the National League with a six-point convention bounce, where even CNN, which is an intel op, I have no doubt, showed Donald Trump with a lead of 48 to 45, suggesting it's probably even more substantial, an increase of six, Hillary dropping by four. That, as I read it, is actually a 10-point conversion. Very, very striking. Where one of the essential elements to bringing the party together was the appearance by Ted Cruz, who was widely expected to endorse Donald Trump in accordance with a pledge he and the other candidates, all 16, had made in the beginning, that they would support the eventual nominee. The only one who hesitated at that point in time, you will recall, was Donald Trump himself, who stated it would be a function of how he was treated, whether he was treated fairly or not by the Republican National Committee. And I have to say, in the end, when it was all said and done, Rince Priebus gave a masterful speech endorsing Donald Trump. I think it's fair to say that the Republican National Committee is doing its part to support the candidate of the Republican Party. But the odd event was that when Ted Cruz came out, instead of endorsing Trump, he talked about voting your conscience. He received massive boos. His wife had to be hustled off with security, his wife Heidi, to jeers of Goldman Sachs, absolutely astonishing. The Republican Party in the past has been a creature of Wall Street. Goldman Sachs, by far the most powerful firm on Wall Street. That she, who is an official of Goldman Sachs and also a member of the Council on Foreign Relations, would have to be given protection and hustled out of the convention, tells us there's been a stunning change in the Republican Party, that this is no longer the party of old, but a new version, a 20th century version of the Republican Party. And after Ted Cruz refused to endorse Donald Trump, he received massive boos. It's very obvious in retrospect that Cruz's refusal brought about a solidification of support for Trump in the recognition that this was inappropriate, improper, childish, even some have suggested a form of political suicide. But it was actually therapeutic because it put the issue on the table and the Republicans crushed the anti-Trump movement. It is dead. Now, what happened at the Democratic convention is stunningly different. You had a Bernie Sanders who has been campaigning from the beginning against the Trans-Pacific Partnership, against the endless wars in the Middle East, in favor of returning manufacturing and industrial companies to the United States, which were gutted by NAFTA and would be further depleted by the TPP. Bear in mind, NAFTA was brought to us by Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton brought us a North American Free Trade Agreement, which has had such devastating effects. We were warned by Ross Perot, who said that giant sucking sound we're hearing is all those jobs moving south. Well, he was exactly right. The reason Bernie won in Michigan, for example, was because of opposition to NAFTA and its effects, and because Bernie was standing up against the TPP. So we could have had a parallel event at the Democratic convention where Bernie stood his ground, stood up for his principles. I may disagree with what Ted Cruz did, but at the very least, he stood up for his principles. And I'll say more about what was going on behind the scene there. But the fact is that Bernie, instead of standing up for his principles, sold out. He's become a primary motivator for Hillary Clinton, where Hillary is going to bring us more wars, more death, more destruction, more devastation, more gutting of our manufacturing and industrial base. Hillary had in the past declared that she regarded the TPP as the gold standard of free trade agreements. Well, that tells it all. Because of complaints from the liberal left, she modified and began talking about opposition to the TPP. But it's a part of the Democratic platform. She was just faking it. She's a untrustworthy person. She truly does deserve the acronym Crooked Hillary that Donald Trump has bestowed upon her. And this fellow, Tim Kaine, from Virginia, although he has a very impressive resume, he was a mayor of Richmond, lieutenant governor, now senator. He is a very staunch proponent of the Trans-Pacific Partnership as well. So what do we have here? We got two members who represent Wall Street. Tim Kaine, Hillary Clinton represent Wall Street, the TPP. They are anti-progressive on the most basic issues involved here. Hillary is all for more war. She's demonstrated she is a neocon. One of the fascinating aspects of this whole email business, about which I shall have more to say, is that the earlier revelation of her emails involving the great scandal of having a server that wasn't even protected by so much as a password, which had been hacked by Guccifer, this Romanian, ingenious Romanian IT guy, who even produced doodles by Bill Clinton to substantiate he'd been there, because Hillary was using a server previously used by her husband, who is famous for his doodles, where the Russians appear to have as much as 20,000 of these, where she claims she never transmitted any documents that were classified, meaning marked classified, which is simply absurd, because the security classification of a document is a function of its content, not with whether or not it's stamped. And while this hack director of the FBI, James Comey, who appears to be enmeshed in all kinds of scandals behind the scene with Hillary Clinton, the Clinton Foundation, and various financial forms of corruption, gave her a free pass. His premises in enumerating all the things she had done or failed to do were completely and utterly inconsistent with his conclusion, meaning that his conclusion was contradicted by the evidence he himself adduced. This is clear indication of corruption. Loretta Lynch obviously had found a clever way to pass the buck to James Comey to make the decision by meeting with Bill Clinton, which appears to have had the effect of transferring Guccifer, who's in American custody. Guess what? He's in American custody for hacking into Hillary's email server. So when the FBI went to interview him, he had been moved. He was no longer at the location specified. But the only authority in the American government who is entitled to transfer a prisoner is Loretta Lynch herself. I therefore conclude this exchange between Loretta Lynch and Bill Clinton, where the FBI present even instructed photographers and civilians they were not allowed to take photographs, clear indication that something dirty, underhanded was at foot, has all been a charade folding to the Clintons, who have exercised massive power, where we even have a string of deaths that are associated with the Clintons, including Ron Brown, Vince Foster, and a host of others. What really happened recently, published such a list. Go online and look for the Clinton death list. It's going to shake you up quite considerably. So what we have here is an awful lot of proof, because we also know that Hillary instructed at least one of her correspondents to mark off, to snowpack out the classification that was printed right on it, whether it was secret, top secret, or merely classified, I do not know. But she was actually dealing with much higher levels, the most sensitive kinds of information in the American intelligence arsenal, even conveying the names of covert CIA agents abroad, rendering them vulnerable to exposure, capture, torture, even death. This is the quality of the woman we have here, who has been serving as our Secretary of State, where it becomes increasingly apparent, by the way, that the whole Benghazi deal was in arms for the rebels' provision, where the administration, the Obama administration, has been questioned about this, but has absolutely stonewalled whether anything related to Benghazi involved arms for rebels. It appears that Chris Stevens, the ambassador there, thought it was a bad idea for them to receive some of these weapons, including shoulder-mounted surface-to-air missiles, probably Stingers, and he was trying to reverse the deal. Hillary took offense, left him hanging out to dry, told the general who could have provided aid that they had already been evacuated, which was completely false, and of course went on to lie about the actual causes, attributing it to the trailer for this absurd little parody of the Prophet Muhammad entitled Innocence of Muslims. If Hillary were speaking the truth, she would not have offered such a suggestion. It's clear that she is a liar, a liar, a liar. It's embarrassing. If you listen to Michelle Obama's absolutely fantastic, uplifting speech on Monday night, you would have been truly inspired, provided that you knew nothing about the history in the background, because virtually everything Michelle Obama was saying about Hillary Clinton was false. She left out the Clintons' drug dealing in Mena, Arkansas. She left out her harassment of the women that Bill had sexually attacked, several of whom he even raped. He was actually thrown out of Oxford for raping a fellow student. Somehow Michelle Obama didn't talk about that. She didn't talk about the fact that Chelsea Clinton is not even the offspring of Bill and Hillary, but rather was fathered by Webster Humble, who was the head of the Rose Law Firm at the time when Hillary was making her mark as an attorney. She was Webster's assistant and would most assuredly have had information that would have been incriminating of Webster, who was indicted and brought to trial for billing clients without performing the work in order to circumvent any actual investigation that could have drawn Hillary into the event. Webster Humble pled guilty, and it was cut off at the pass. Nevertheless, on his way to prison, Bill and Hill hired him with a retainer of $500,000, the obvious reason being that lawyer-client confidentiality precludes his discussing any of the grotesque offenses that had been conducted by the Clintons. The whole business with the Clinton Foundation is a huge, huge tangle, where it is overwhelmingly clear that if there is any justice left in the United States, and frankly, given the performance of James Comey and Loretta Lynch, I don't believe there is, then it would be the case that somebody would be going to jail here. It's truly outrageous. We have the, in 2012, the HSBC bank was caught laundering money for drug cartels. HSBC got a sweetheart deal from the U.S. Attorney for New York in which nobody went to jail, and HSBC paid a fine equivalent to 5 weeks' profits. The U.S. Attorney for New York, who arranged that sweetheart deal, is now the Attorney General of the United States. A member of the board at HSBC, while the money laundering was taking place, is now the head of the FBI. So that Comey did his job, which is why the FBI let Hillary skate on the email scandal. He is in their pocket. It's completely disgusting, completely disgraceful. Michelle Obama didn't mention that either. She didn't mention that Hillary had championed the assault on Libya using NATO forces, that in fact, Muammar Gaddafi was a benefactor of the people of Libya, providing them with free health care, free public education, national warehouses filled with food. If anyone was hungry, they could go and obtain all the food they could need. If there were someone with a medical malady that could not be dealt with in Libya, they would be flown anywhere in the world, all expense paid by the Libyan government, with a friend or a relative. Where Gaddafi was also introducing the Great Waterworks Project that would return the North Africa to a veritable oasis, and the gold dinar. And in Hillary's email, it's revealed that the reasons for the attack on Libya had nothing to do with his abusing the Libyan people, but because Western banking interests, read that, Rothschilds, were upset that he was introducing the gold dinar, and the French, who had a colonial interest in Africa, were worried that Gaddafi's influence was growing. Get this, he was surrendering to a location specified by the Department of State under a white flag, but Hillary interdicted, had the convoy attacked, and Gaddafi viciously slaughtered, including castrated and sodomized. She didn't want him appearing before The Hague at the International Criminal Court, spilling secrets she didn't want to get out into the public. Michelle Obama also somehow forgot to mention that, too. If you didn't know better, you'd think Michelle Obama was talking about the nomination of Joan of Arc to be the Democratic candidate for president. And bear in mind, Hillary's been talking about bombing Iran, a peace-loving country that has not attacked any other nation since 1775. This is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal. So caught with their pantsuits down, what are they going to do? The Democratic National Committee? I mean, the evidence is massively incriminating. They're ridiculing Bernie. They're disparaging him. They say he's not even really a Democrat. He'll never be president. They're talking about his faith. He happens to be a Jew, and suggesting you should put him on the spot by asking him whether he even believes in God, because some of them think he's actually an atheist. Well, this is profoundly embarrassing to the Democratic National Committee. It confirms everything we believe about the fact that the system was rigged against Bernie. So what are they going to do? They're trying to divert attention by claiming the Russians had something to do with it, which is about as juvenile as it gets. There's no evidence whatsoever that Russia had anything to do with it. In fact, the Russian foreign minister, Sergei Lavrov, has brushed aside the accusation, even suggesting he can't respond appropriately because I don't want to use four-letter words. It's complete rubbish. Julian Assange has said there's no reason to believe the Kremlin was involved. He's denied the Kremlin was involved for the good reason that the Kremlin was not involved. Think of how stupid it would be for Russia to attempt to interfere in an American internal election. That's what we do. We did that in Ukraine, for example. We invested some $5 billion in bringing instability into the Ukraine for the sake of getting rid of the democratically elected president who was pro-Russian in order to install a complete puppet of the United States. This is what Americans do. This is not what the Russians are doing. So what did we have on MSNBC? We had an interview with a former ambassador to Moscow who's saying, oh, yes, yes, I know a great deal about the Russians, and yes, this is something they could do. How absurd. The guy is a former ambassador to Moscow. He's certainly CIA. They also talk about having consulted with some cyber technique, cyber experts, also CIA. This is a classic disinformation operation. You have one op consulting or citing another as though they were a source to confirm when they're both on the same side pulling the wool over the eyes of the American people. Now, there may have been an intel op at work here. That, I don't think, is seriously in doubt, but it had nothing to do with Russia. This is original amateur hour to make such a suggestion or insinuation. Frankly, it's embarrassing. But what else is Hillary going to do? She has been caught, believe it or not. Listen to this. This was her response. She said, when informed about it, she knew nothing about it, and she hadn't read the emails. Now, think about it. She said she knew nothing about it. She hadn't heard even read the emails. This concerns the Debbie Wasserman Schultz, the Democratic National Committee, relations with Bernie Sanders, and she hasn't even bothered to look at the evidence? I mean, that is so completely irresponsible. It further reinforces my belief this woman is completely unqualified to serve as president of the United States, notwithstanding the fact that that is the strongest argument being advanced on her behalf. She's supposed to be the most experienced, the most qualified, but she had an email server that was processing information of the highest level of security and did not even have a password. James Comey actually admitted that she had less security than ordinarily attends a Gmail account. James Comey said that. Don't let it slip past you. And he, in addition, of course, when James Comey was asked whether he'd compare her testimony under oath with the results of their investigation, as in during the Benghazi hearings, Comey said no, they hadn't been asked to do that. So the head of the committee said he was going to request it, and guess what? His formal request, which is posted on a congressional website, has disappeared. Who do you think could take that down? Think Obama, Barack Hussein. This guy is all in. Hillary Clinton represents a third term of an Obama administration, which, God forbid, represented a third and fourth term of a Dick Cheney, George W. Bush administration. It's that bad. We have a horrendous foreign policy, an extension of 9/11, where General Wesley Clark filled us in how he had discovered after he returned to the Pentagon from serving as a Supreme Commander, Allied Forces Europe, which means Commanding General of NATO, that there was a plan that had just been set down by then Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld to take out the governments of seven countries in the next 5 years, beginning with Iraq and Libya, ending with Syria and Iran. Well, it hasn't quite played out that way because of Russian intervention, but it hasn't been for lack of trying. And Hillary has been talking about bombing Iran. She said so at Dartmouth last year. Well, why didn't Michelle Obama include that in her speech about Hillary Clinton? This seems to be a pretty significant omission. As I began to explain, Iran is a peace-loving country that has not attacked any other nation since 1775. Just to place that in historical context, the ratification of the Constitution only began in 1787. George Washington was elected president in 1789. So for longer than the United States has existed as a constitutional republic, Iran has not attacked any other nation. God, if only that could be said of the United States itself. Since 9/11, which we conducted, compliments of the CIA, the neocons, and the Department of Defense, most of whom were joint U.S.-Israeli citizens in the Mossad, it was brought about to transform American foreign policy from one in which, at least officially, we never attacked any nation that had not attacked us first, to one in which we became an aggressor nation and started taking out the modern Arab states that had served as a counterbalance to Israel's domination of the Middle East. This originated in the fertile imagination of Bibi Netanyahu in around 1987, when he conducted a conference on terrorism in Jerusalem and published a book about terrorism, How the West Can Win, before the word, the concept, the thought was in anyone's mind. Bibi Netanyahu thought it through. How can I get American military force to take out the modern Arab states that serve as a counterbalance to Israel's domination of the Middle East? 9/11 was the outcome. And it's completely outrageous that Michelle Obama omitted this too. I mean, after all, Hillary talking about bombing Iran, for what reason? Our own intelligence agencies, all 16, concluded already in 2007 that Iran was not pursuing nuclear weapons, a conclusion it reaffirmed in 2011. Even the Mossad concluded that Iran was not pursuing nuclear weapons in 2012, just 3 weeks before Bibi Netanyahu went to the United Nations and asserted precisely the opposite. So what's going on? In fact, not only has Iran not pursuing nuclear weapons, but the sanctions we've imposed upon Iran are violations of Article 33 of the Geneva Conventions of 1949, which specifically state that no person may be punished for a crime he did not personally commit. These are forms of collective punishment. Under the Geneva Conventions, they qualify as war crimes. This is not the first time we have engaged in war crimes with Arab nations, or, in, of course, in, Iran is Persian. But we imposed a no-fly zone over Iraq that led to the death of 500,000 Iraqi infants. That was the United States. Brought about the death of 500,000 Iraqi infants. And why were we in Iraq in the first place? Iraq had nothing to do with 9/11. We were told lies about weapons of mass destruction. Dick Cheney set up a whole separate intelligence outfit to, because he wasn't happy with the results presented by the CIA. So he wanted his own source of very warped intelligence to justify the moves he wanted to make on independent grounds. A part of the motive for which was, as the former president of Halliburton, he promoted the privatization of the logistics support for the military, which is an utter insanity. I suppose if he hadn't had seven deferments, he wouldn't have reached that judgment, because an army has to be self-sufficient. It has to be responsible for its own logistics. So that Halliburton set up, for example, showers which had faulty electrical connections that led to the death by electrocution of officers and men of the American military. So what's a commanding officer supposed to do in a situation like that? Sue Halliburton? Sue Halliburton? Do you see how absurd this is? Compliments of Dick Cheney, who may be the most malevolent figure to ever occupy high office in the United States of America. But he made sure that Halliburton got its gouge of no contract bids out of Iraq and made billions, hundreds of billions of dollars from all these needless wars. Donald Trump and Bernie Sanders both want to cut it off. Donald Trump and Bernie Sanders both want to cease these endless wars in the Middle East that are merely turning the region into chaos. That does not benefit the United States. That only benefits Israel. And, of course, ISIS has emerged as a project to bring additional pressure on the Assad regime after the stunt of having a gas attack blamed on the Assad government fell flat because the Russians provided a 50-page dossier proving that it was done by the rebels, who were given the weapons either by Prince Bandar of Saudi Arabia, also known as Bandar Bush because he's so tight with the Bush family, or by Hillary Clinton having them transferred from Libya. I reiterate that Hillary had designated a location for Gaddafi to surrender. He was traveling there in a convoy under a white flag of surrender. But Hillary calculated that if he wound up being taken alive and appeared in a criminal docket before the International Criminal Court at The Hague, he might spill secrets she didn't want the public to know. So she had the caravan attacked and had him brutally murdered, including being castrated and sodomized. This is Hillary Clinton, and she cackled about it afterwards. We came, we saw, he died, and she laughed when she said it. Find it online. Just search on the words. We came, we saw, he died, Hillary Clinton. You got to get insight into this woman. She's a complete monster. It even turns out that the intrusion into Syria has nothing to do with allegations that Assad was abusing his people. In these emails, including an exchange with Sidney Blumenthal, who is one of her closest advisors, it's stated that the reason for going into Syria is to benefit Israel. Benefit Israel. So we've squandered $4 to $5 trillion in the Middle East, turned the region into chaos, unleashed these forces, these historic sectarian differences between the Shia and the Sunni, and don't forget the Kurds, that the secular leaders, Saddam Hussein, Muammar Gaddafi, and Bashar Assad, have managed to reconcile and maintain a harmonious government. No one knowledgeable with the facts would deny that the life of Iraqis was overwhelmingly better under Saddam Hussein than under the chaos that exists today. He had reliable electricity and water throughout the country You have national health care, national public education, antiquities and artifacts dating back thousands of years. But Dick Cheney wanted the oil. Dick Cheney wanted the oil for Halliburton. Dick Cheney, the former president of Halliburton, wanted the Iraqi oil for Halliburton. And he had all the lies put out. You remember Paul Wolfowitz saying, we would be greeted as heroes with rose petals thrown in our path, that it would take a matter of weeks to conquer Iraq. Has anybody noticed? We are still there. We are still there. And Hillary champions all of this. Why didn't Michelle Obama include that in her speech? I mean, it's completely disgusting. And get this, there's another email there that says, and this involves Huma Abedin, who is Hillary's close personal aide. She happens to be a Saudi Arabian herself. She was married to this congressman from New York by the name of Weiner, who got into all kinds of problems because he couldn't take care of his zone and keep it in its proper place, where Huma is saying that somebody needs to be holding Hillary's hand in relation to international phone calls because she gets confused. Hillary Clinton gets confused. That's right in the email. So why didn't Michelle Obama talk about that Hillary gets confused? Why didn't Michelle Obama talk about Hillary wanted to take out Assad in Syria to benefit Israel? Why didn't she talk about that Michelle championed the attacks and the slaughter of the Libyan people to benefit the Rothschild banking interests and the French and their neocolonial claims on Africa? I mean, this is disgusting beyond words. And would you believe we have every reason to anticipate that we're going to be besieged with all kinds of ridiculous gun control nonsense at the convention now in the next few days? The evidence includes that CNN last Thursday posted 100 Sandy Hook videos, 100 Sandy Hook videos. Now, why in the world do you suppose CNN posted 100 Sandy Hook videos? Obviously, because they're going to be made a great cause, a focus of attention during the convention, because Hillary wants to promote the ridiculous absurdity that 20 children and 6 adults died in Sandy Hook, which I and a dozen other experts have refuted repeatedly again and again, including in the book, Nobody Died at Sandy Hook, 420 pages, 250 photographs, including 50 in Chapter 7 of them furnishing the Lanza home to serve as a prop. It appears to have been completely empty, and 50 more of them refurbishing the Sandy Hook Elementary School because it had been closed in 2008. If you're unaware of this, let me remind you. The Sandy Hook Elementary School was constructed around 1950. It was loaded with asbestos and other biohazards. It had been severely damaged by hurricanes. In 2007, 2008, they had to decide whether to upgrade the school to make it compliant with American for Disability Act conditions, which would have meant a major overhaul. If you look at any of the photographs, you'll see it's not wheelchair accessible. You have wooden exits that no wheelchair could navigate. And if you even look at an aerial photograph of the Sandy Hook parking lot, you'll detect signs that this entire thing was a fraud. In particular, there's none of the familiar blue and white parking, handicap parking, no blue and white signage. That means this school in 2012 could not have been legally operating because it was not handicap accessible. Notice too, this was a cold day. The ground temperature was 28 degrees Fahrenheit. If this school were actually functioning, you'd see steam and heat rising from the building. But the boilers had not been used since 2008. They were decrepit. They couldn't even heat up the building. Notice in addition, all the vehicles in the center rows are parked facing the building. But that's ridiculous. The parking instructions require you come in, you take a right, you curl around, and then you park facing away. But it was so much simpler to simply bring the vehicles, which are merely serving as props, in a single line and put them in two by two by two that even the way the vehicles are parked shows this whole thing was a scam. In addition, many people are familiar with a photograph that appears to be a policewoman escorting a string of children to safety from Sandy Hook School. What they don't know is there's a second photograph taken earlier from further back, and you can see there's a whole string of parents there with their arms folded, their hands in their pockets, casually looking on, while the policewoman, guess what, rearranges the kids in the line to get a better shot. So in the earlier photograph, you have a little girl in a pink sweater in front. In the later photograph, you have a little boy in a dark sweater and blue jeans. I mean, this is unreal. Check it out. Not only that, but when Amazon.com banned the book, Nobody Died at Sandy Hook, after it had sold nearly 500 copies, where it was placed on sale on 22 October, taken down on 19 November, no doubt because it blows apart the whole Sandy Hook agenda, where you're going to hear Hillary Clinton lying about it during the Democratic convention. She's even got the daughter of the principal who was supposed to have died there, Dawn Hoffspring. We'll get this about the principal. It was a two-day drill. We even have the FEMA manual for the drill. There was a rehearsal on the 13th, going live on the 14th. Well, the Newtown Bee was right on top of this. They had an article, an interview with Dawn Hoffspring, the principal, already set to be printed on the 14th. On the 13th, they already had it set up on the 13th. They weren't the only ones who were jumping the gun. We had donation websites that went up on the 13th for an event that had yet to occur. Even Adam Lanza's date of death was initially recorded in the Social Security Death Index as having occurred on the 13th, making his feat in shooting 20 children and 6 adults the following day all the more remarkable. And when the Newtown Bee published the article, questions arose. How could they have had an interview with the principal who was talking about the shooter being in the hallway and firing shots when she officially was the first person who was shot and killed? It's completely outrageous. When the book was banned, InfoWars actually published an article about it entitled Sandy Hook Truth Book Banned by Amazon on November 24th, 2015. It was up for 38 minutes. It had 178 comments already before it was taken down. It was not only taken down, but it was cleaned from their cache. They went back and made sure you couldn't even retrieve it with a Wayback Machine. They were that eager to wipe it out. Why? Because there's a very famous photograph here that was Exhibit 26 in Chapter 8 of the book Nobody Died at Sandy Hook, showing the SWAT team was already there. Just above the top of the SWAT team, there's a string of 4 windows in Classroom 10, which are completely undamaged. You look down the pole, and there's a man reclining against the wall with his arms folded. It's Wayne Carver, the medical examiner, awaiting the arrival of his portable mortuary tent. We also publish in the book photographs of the windows before and after, because after the second window in particular in the string of 4 was badly shot out, we even published a photograph of the perps drilling holes in the window frame to simulate shots, and another photograph of pink rods that were inserted that were supposed to represent the shots that were fired by the shooter. But it's all an absurdity. I used to supervise marksmanship training when I was a series commander at the recruit depot in San Diego. As a Marine Corps officer, I had 15 DIs and 300 recruits under my command. I can assure you, this is all preposterous. This is all fabricated. And the key to why they had to take it down is it gives a photo credit to the Connecticut State Police, which is exactly right. The Connecticut police were setting it up, running the whole op, taking photographs they just never expected they'd come into the public hands. You can find 50 of them about faking it at the Sandy Hook Elementary School in Chapter 8, 50 more of them furnishing the Adam Lanza home. And in order to figure out what way to present it, they had, for example, Adam Lanza's room was made up neat. Adam Lanza's room was made up messy. We have to realize it was either neat or it was messy. And you want to photograph it the way it was, but they're trying to figure out what way of presentation would make the most impact. We have a classic photograph of the Nancy Lanza bedroom where you can see some red stuff on the bed. Here's where Adam is supposed to have shot his mother five times in the head with a 22 caliber rifle, but it isn't blood. It looks to me like it might be raspberry jam. There is a set of forms on a wooden chest at the foot of the bed, which we find in many other photographs because they were keeping records of how they were arranging the rooms, the furniture in the rooms. And Kelly Watt, with a keen eye, who has her own commercial and home cleaning service, spotted beneath a leg of the bed a blue moving pad that in their haste they forgot to remove. Now, this book is available for free. I release it to the public for free after it was banned by Amazon, which was obviously political. Jay Carney, who'd been the White House spokesman, had gone to Amazon as its senior vice president. I'm sure he had a hand in it, in banning the book. So you can go to rants.com and ask for the Nobody Died at Sandy Hook. Download it for yourself. And the great benefit of the PDF is then you have all the color photographs in color. We couldn't print the book with color photographs. It would have been prohibitively expensive. If you still want a bound volume, it is now available again at moonrockbooks.com. But bear in mind, Hillary is going to go to town. It's going to include a lot of utter lies and garbage, and it's going to happen this coming week. Be prepared. Don't be deceived. Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal. Thank you all for listening.